Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
I haven't made a butt in so long I can't even remember.
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Welcome to Bad Rapport. My name is Luke.
Willkommen. This is Carrie, and I can't do accents. I'm mixing 5 different accents at the same time. Welcome to episode 56 of Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. January 11th, 2011.
Okay. We're still playing with the sound bites device that my mom got for me, but... And Carrie has downloaded the Price is Right soundboard onto her phone, so...
Yes.
So, it's the bomb. So this will...
This is entertainment at its finest.
Yes. So, Carrie, what have you been up to since last year?
I'll let you go first because I didn't think about it.
Oh, okay. Well, New Year's Eve happened. I drew caricatures at Key Lime Cove, and at the moment the clock struck midnight, I was actually in the middle of drawing a caricature that I had started, and it was in color. So by the time I got the black and white done, I told the father and his daughter or whatever, like, oh, you can go upstairs for the big balloon drop, you know, at midnight, and I'll keep working on your drawing. So I was actually in the middle of coloring the drawing when the clock struck midnight. So at that moment, I went down to the corner where I had signed Lukeski 2011 and added and 2012 to my signature. So that was a first for me.
And that was a story from the Fubcast.
Yes.
Yay.
Well, I'm sorry. I can't. You're the one that insisted we have a what have you been up to since last time segment on this
We've
show.
We've had this since before the Fubcast existed, dumbass.
So,
Your Fubcast stole it from this cast.
Okay. Well, so then came back here, had an awesome party, which Carrie will go into detail on, because she was at it longer than I was. And then there was social funness with Blasted Bill. And then on Monday, I announced the big MarsCon track announcements. So, yeah, that's what I've been up to. How about you, Carrie?
Well, me and Josh hosted a Blasted Bill putt at our house for 2 nights, and we met up with everybody here at Luke and Sarah's house while Luke was gone for many, many hours. And Bill was here, Ken was here, and who else was here? Sarah, me, Josh,
and
Jared Perez. I think that's it.
Yeah.
You weren't here for Redneck Life, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Yeah, we had lots of tasty foods that Sarah provided, and we played a rousing game of Redneck Life. You can hear more about that on the Toad Elevating Moment podcast. but I was the only one at the end of the game who had a positive amount of money instead of being in debt. And a lot of the guys had negative amounts of teeth. And the winner of the game is whoever has the most teeth at the end of the game. So I was only down 3 or 4 teeth, so I won the game.
Awesome.
And then the ball dropped, and we said, Happy New Year, and we had noisemakers, and then Luke finally came back, and then we played Boob Tree. And
I'm trying to find the Boob Tree drawings. I saved them, and I'm trying to remember where I put them.
Boob Tree can also be... heard talked about in more detail on the Toad Elevating Moment podcast, but basically it's like you combine Pictionary and the telephone game, where you start off with a phrase, you pass your phrase to the person on the left, they draw a picture, that picture gets passed to their left, and they make a phrase from the picture. they take that new phrase, pass it to their left, and we get a new picture until you get, you know, a chain of events that makes absolutely no sense. At no point in time, actually, I think we played it once before Luke showed up as well.
Yeah.
And at no point in time did we have the ideal minimum amount of players, which is 7. So I was being, you know, Royal Carry and kind of insisting that things go in a certain way so that we could, you know, end up with a phrase at the end, even though we were playing with even numbers of people and stuff. And blazity blah yakety schmackety. So
we have some of the game cards here, and I thought we should at least go through one or two of them.
Yeah. Also mention we played it again the next day on New Year's Day night,
yes,
or whatever. So we have many examples.
So this one that I happen to have in my hands, I'll start with this one because I want to play the song that this lyric came from as our first song in the show. so I wrote down the phrase, "I eat Monopoly and shit out Connect Four," which is a line from the song "What Is a Juggalo" by Insane Clown Posse. So that was what I wrote, and then I'm trying to remember who was next to me in the list. Let's see. Was this who drew this?
Might have been Ken. I think that was Bill.
Yeah.
I'm going with Bill.
So Bill's drawing, and I'll scan and put these up at the comments page of this or yeah. One way or another, either in the entry or in the comments, I'll put up a link so that you can see the images and the captions that go with this, so that, you know, me just describing it on an audio podcast is, you know, will make you want to go look at the visual. Anyway, so, again,
yes,
my phrase. I eat Monopoly and shit out Connect Four. So
the picture.
The picture is...
This awesome picture that you're looking at on the internet.
Yes, is Bill Putt drew a game board that vaguely resembles Monopoly, that has cop with an arrow pointing at one thing and car with an arrow pointing at another thing to point out, you know...
And it has the word game board on it.
Written on it, yeah. And he has it, like, with an arrow going into the mouth of some kind of, you know, four-legged-ish animal, and then coming out of the butt with an arrow is what would appear to be the Connect Four,
yes,
clackety-clack board.
He said he drew the animal because he can't draw people, which he can't,
yes,
really draw animals either. But
yeah. So then the phrase that came from that was, "Super Horse eats board games and poops Connect Four."
Yes.
Which is pretty close, and I think maybe... Josh may have written this phrase.
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Anyway, so then, so then the person drew what was supposed to be Super Horse, but really looks more like an obese cat with,
yes,
a dollar bill as its cape, like kind of sucking up different various board games, one of which sort of looks like Monopoly, and then pooping out a more accurate looking version of what Connect Four looks like.
I wrote down the phrase, "A cat that excretes popular board games." So I decided not to be.
So then the next drawing is of a cat with an "oh" look on its face and, you know, little tiny pellets of poop coming out of its butt, and then the game Risk. Just a sideways, you know, looking rectangle with the word Risk written on it.
You need to look at these images.
Yes, and then 7.
The final phrase, right?
No, it's not.
Okay. No.
"Scared cat poops on a board game." And then the 8th drawing.
That's my drawing.
Carrie's drawing is of a cat that does indeed look quite concerned, pooping out onto a board game that looks kind of like Monopoly. And then the final phrase written is, "Cat poops on Monopoly." So we started with "I eat Monopoly and shit out Connect 4," ended with "cat and poops on Monopoly."
That's one of the closer ones that you get in this game.
So, yeah.
The reason why it's called Boob Tree is because I stole the game from Matt Doohan, who I think named the game Boob Tree based on excellent drawing that I never got to see because I wasn't in that game. And he tried to rename it Penis Hat after an excellent drawing that I did get to see, but I'm still calling it Boob Tree. But you can call it Penis Hat as well.
Carrie wrote down the phrase for one of hers to begin, "Every time a donut sings, a Hello Kitty loses her wings."
Yeah.
And then I wrote the phrase cause and effect, and then a picture of a donut singing and a Hello Kitty with the wings popping off and going, no!
Pretty much the best you could get with that one. Stayed really shockingly similar as well by the end.
Yeah, let's go through this one real quick. Started with the phrase, and I think this was Jared Perez's phrase to start with, I think.
Yes.
Autobots, transform and roll out. So that's, you know, the phrase we're starting with. The next picture is two blocky looking, it's kind of like if you took a stick figure and drew it as you know,
blocks
like
kind of a
blocky thing with square heads. It's like two square head figures with arrows pointing to vehicles, and then the arrows in front of those vehicles as if they're moving a direction.
Yes.
So from that, I believe it was your husband, Josh.
Yes.
Wrote the phrase, his interpretation of that drawing. Gumby is forced to attend sexual harassment training after repeated incidents with a car.
Because my husband's an asshole.
Because the blocky head figures kind of look like the bad guy characters from the Gumby cartoon.
I guess.
But I guess that was, he just kind of went with Gumby because he didn't know those characters' names, as I don't either, off the top of my head. But it's like, you know, the arrows that are pointing towards the cars are about at crotch level.
Yes.
So, you know. So then I drew... I drew a cartoon of actual Gumby looking depressed, sitting on a chair watching a projector showing an image of a man having sex with the back of a car and saying, yes, yes, yes. Well, there's a police officer there holding a stick pointing to the screen saying, no. And then on the back, on the other side of the room behind him, there's a sign on the wall that says, no means no. Which is my interpretation of Gumby is forced to attend sexual harassment training after repeated incidents with a car.
And it's the first, like, kind of X-rated drawing I've seen you do.
Yeah. And then the next, the person who wrote this was
you. I wrote it.
Carrie wrote, Gumby attends the don't fuck a truck anti-sexual harassment training.
So pretty close.
So the next drawing after that... Who drew this, Bill?
I think so.
So Bill drew it, and I think for what you wrote, Bill did a pretty decent thing, and it actually vaguely resembles what I wrote in stick figure form. And his person, who's apparently there teaching the class, is saying, no, is verboten.
I think that might have been Josh.
Maybe that was Josh.
Because he's the one who decided to mix Spanish and German.
And then, oh yeah, and then I wrote next, and in response to that, Gumby watches autoerotic pornography and the German police disapprove. So then...
There's my drawing.
So then Carrie...
my X-rated drawing.
Because I was going with a pun because of the vehicles and the sex, autoerotic. So Carrie drew a TV that has a naked woman on it with a leash around her neck, and she's saying, I'm joking. And then there's she's clearly naked. Gumby is very happy with a mean look on his face with a boner. And then some mean looking guy with a hat that has a swastika on it is saying, nine! And then from that,
The final phrase,
Nazi police is stopping Gumby from watching porn. So we started with Autobots transform and roll out and ended with Nazi police is stopping Gumby from watching porn. So, yes.
Yeah. One of the epic ones that occurred at Doohan Con resulted in a... Since I had to pass the phrase Nazi marching band to my left, whoever was there had to draw a Nazi marching band. And then Josh got the picture of the Nazi marching band, and since he's an asshole and he loves to derail this game, he wrote the phrase, bad idea cosplay marching band. And then the picture that was drawn of that was like a bunch of furries in a marching band. That was at Doohan Con, and our friend Cynthia drew it, and it was incredible. All these, like... You can hear more about that on totally moment. So.
Yeah, one of the things that I had to draw was police fight army, police fight army of flying coffee cups attempting to rebrand Willis Tower. So I drew Willis Tower with coffee cups with wings and spray paint crossing off the words Willis Tower and trying to put up a sign that says Starbucks Tower with a Chicago Police Department helicopter next to it yelling the phrase cease and desist.
Yeah, every time I've played this game, I've always said, God, I want to play this game with Luke and see how playing it with Luke changes it, you know, because Luke can draw. But, you know, Luke's always working weekends, so he's never there when I've ever been playing it. And so finally, we made it happen, and he seems to be, he seems to really enjoy the game.
Yeah, I'd very much like to play a game in which me and TV's Kyle are on opposite sides of the same circle. I think that would be epic as hell.
Yeah.
One of the chains started with the phrase, silence is golden, from which Ken actually drew a picture that conveyed to Carrie the phrase, silence is golden.
Yeah.
And then it came to me, and for some reason, I just blanked on how I should draw that. So I drew a picture of a rainbow, at, you know, like at the end of the rainbow where gold is, and then at the end of the rainbow I have in the straitjacket and mask Hannibal Lecter saying, "Do you still hear the lambs, Clarice?" So it's silence of the lamb at the end of the rainbow. Silence is golden.
So Ken did a much better job with that phrase than
yes,
you did.
He did.
But as far as being true to it, you did a better job as far as being comedic with it.
Well, it's kind of like your husband, you know, he intentionally does things to try to screw people up.
Yeah.
For the most part, completely ignoring what's actually there and just trying to write something that's funny to kind of mess with the system. And I just kind of, you know, and I'm not saying he can't or shouldn't or whatever. I mean, that's just the way he plays the game. But I like the way I like to play the game is to make a genuine effort to actually convey
what
the words are. And when when it comes to writing the phrases, you know, I try to, you know, make it a little bit flowery, but make it as accurate as possible to what I'm seeing, to what my interpretation of what that drawing is.
Yeah.
So, you know, but there were some times in the game where the phrase somebody started with, I think this was Jared Perez once again, which came to me, the phrase was, if somebody asks you if you're a god...
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I decided we should call Ken.
Okay.
Because we haven't done that in a long time. All every right. once in a while, every now and again, ring, hello, let's call Ken. Ding! It's ringing. Is he going to answer? The tension.
Yeah, Carrie.
Hi, Ken, you're on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Hi, Luke and Carrie, how you doing?
We're doing pretty good, how are you doing?
A little concerned right now, we're tearing apart our football club and trying to buy my gloves.
Uh-oh.
Knowing that since today is 55 degrees and tomorrow we'll have 6 inches of snow and by Friday it'll be in the single digits.
Yeah, we've got a lot of snow in the forecast after having probably the warmest, most beautiful January I've ever seen in the upper Midwest.
Yeah, whenever it's warm in January, my parents are reminding me of the day it was 60 degrees in January and then the next day the city was shut down in 1967.
Yeah, actually, my therapist was showing me a newspaper pullout that he had that was actually from 1967 and had like 100 different photos of scenes from that storm.
Yeah, there's pictures of me, 15 months old, walking on the street with snow stacked up above 2 feet above my head.
Wow.
Right now. Oh, we did find a breast pump, small jacket, various shoes, one glove.
you found a breast pump, and your daughter's how old?
Yeah, 11. Well, trust me, it also found a plastic set of bowling pins, some kitty golf clubs, and a Sega Dreamcast box with no game inside.
So this has nothing to do with that, but we've been talking about boob tree.
oh, my game.
So, what were your favorite moments from the past games over the weekend?
Oh, jeez. we're talking about New Year's Eve weekend, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
If you don't remember, that's okay. We can discuss other aspects of Boob Tree.
Obviously, I love watching Luke do drawings because he is a professional artist.
Yeah. So,
I love the one drawing that Luke. My favorite drawing is the one of where I think was when you the famous line from Ghostbusters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That, I was about to explain that to everybody that Jared had written the line from Ghostbusters. If somebody asks you if you're a god, you say yes. And then I pretty much drew out, you know.
Rather than trying to draw out the phrase itself, Luke drew the scene from the movie in like such perfect detail. And
then I drew like a word balloon coming out of Winston's mouth with just kind of an exclamation point, just to kind of be like, he is saying something in this moment, and that's the thing we're talking about.
Yeah, that was the first drawing of Luke's that was passed to me, and I, you know, from that, I got it completely. So the phrase I passed on was, if someone asks you if you're a god, you say yes.
Now, first, just to let Sarah know, I do have a set of gloves. They're mismatched, but at least it's not. Hopefully I'll find it before the day's over. But like I said, watching you guys play Boop, you know, it's almost like watching Luke. It would be like watching Luke. The opposite would be, of course, Luke playing Scrabble.
Yeah.
Playing Scrabble. That would be almost the opposite of it.
And anyone who's listening who really, really, really wants to play Boob Tree and is going to MarsCon, you just need to find Blasted Bill Putt because he'll be the one organizing the Boob Tree games.
Oh, really? He'll be doing that?
Oh, yes.
We need to... Okay, and I'm saying this because I want to win a prize. We need to have prizes at MarsCon.
For Boob Tree?
Yes.
But Boob Tree is not a competition.
I think it would be cool to, like, figure out, like... Like, you know, pick best interpretations of somebody's, what somebody, like, you know, best interpretation from drawing and best interpretation in words or something like that. I don't know.
I like it better that it's not a competition.
I like it better when people tell me that I'm awesome, so.
Yeah, but then it'll never be enough for you.
But then Kyle will just pwn me anyway and everyone will tell him he's awesome instead.
Oh, yeah. I would love to play with Luke and Kyle at that.
Yeah.
Someone mentioned Luke and Kyle at the end of the table.
That's what he said earlier.
So,
I'm going to let you go and we'll go on with our segment here.
I love the game. I just wish I could, you know, less, well, you know,
I'm glad that you've come to the conclusion that you love the game. So.
I like the game just because I wish I was, but it just, I like karaoke, but it just shows how, I love the idea of singing karaoke, but it just shows how bad I am at it.
Yeah, but I mean, everybody we've ever played with is bad at drawing except for Luke and Cynthia, so, you know.
Well that's because they're special.
Anyways, have a wonderful snow day tomorrow, and I will talk to you later.
Okay, you two be careful out there.
Yeah, I've actually taken tomorrow off of like almost everything and possibly literally everything.
But I worry about you.
Yeah.
I'm out now, so.
Right. Okay, I'll talk to you later, Ken.
Okay.
Bye. Okay. I just thought it had been awfully long time since we did
that's fine.
Segment.
You're going to dislike this suggestion, but if we're going to organize like a really big game of it at MarsCon, I think we need to come up with something else to call it besides Boob Tree.
I don't care what it's called, and I won't be there anyways, so what difference does it make?
Oh, okay.
Well,
but we will save everything so that you can see.
Okay, yeah. Save it, Bill. Save everything in a really organized fashion so that that can be like... My taste
it's
of
like,
MarsCon.
It's like each set of cards will have to be numbered and then, you know, kept in its individual stack.
With
and then when it's
nothing
done,
on
we'll
the
like,
back.
We'll like rubber band them up so that each thing is like saved in order so that we can document this.
Maybe people should put their names on which phrase or drawing that they did.
Yeah, because it would,
it's easier to tell the story if you know it, who
yeah,
did it.
It wouldn't fuck up the game if everyone just really small in the corner wrote their name just so we knew who did everything, every step in the process, we knew who was who.
So that's my suggestions. I won't be there, so I can't force any of this.
Yeah.
There's something else that did happen over in your life over that period of time that you didn't even talk about.
What?
It's time for number one.
Oh, yeah.
This is it. Here it comes, number one.
Well, do we want to talk about it now or after the song?
Did you have it on the outline? I haven't even seen the outline.
No, I didn't put it on the outline. I was too busy being concerned with, you know, like MarsCon and stuff to think about, like, oh, yeah, that happened.
Well, I was going to ask you, what does it feel like to be the only person other than Weird Al to have number one 3 times on the Dr. Demento show?
It feels really freaking awesome. I mean, it's like...
Does it really, or are you not focusing on how it feels?
I've at the immediate moments, or, you know, days that followed, you know, I felt really good and really happy. I mean, I still feel really good and really happy, but, you know, it's like... for one thing... Snoopy the dog, you know, the idea came from the days when I first started coming up with ideas. So that, you know, idea is as old as What's Up Spock and Insane in the Brain and, you know, some of my earlier songs that fans loved a lot.
Yeah.
So, you know, the whole notion that it's kind of like me having come full circle. I'm not making any grandiose statements like, oh, I'm not doing parodies anymore, or I'm not doing blah, blah, blah anymore. I just have kind of hit this point where I feel like, you know, a lot of these song ideas I have don't necessarily quite so easily fall into, you know, the category of, this is a comedy song, you know, ideal for a show like Dr. Demento's.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like listening to, you know, Schaefer the Dark Lord and MC Frontalot and all these other awesome people that we've, you know, seen at Nerdapalooza, you know, just kind of make me feel like, you know, there's things I'd like to express that don't necessarily fall so comfily into the genre of dementia.
So you want to try your wordsmithing hand at nerdcore instead of dementia?
Not even necessarily nerdcore, so to speak, just the whole idea of, well, you know what, I could do songs that, because most of the time, to be quite honest, when I was doing songs, I'm like, what are my fans going to like? What are the people at the FUMP going to like? And most especially, what is Dr. Demento and his fan base going to like? And, you know, I don't regret having made any of those songs that way.
It's supposed to be your own target audience.
But yeah, but it's supposed to be, yeah, exactly. I'm my own target audience, and now I'm starting to feel like, well, maybe I want to do stuff that's not quite, that's not quite, like I said, fitting into that, you know, dementia category. Maybe I want to express myself a little bit differently.
We've had this discussion on the podcast before.
So anyway,
the point is it's good to get number one again.
Yeah, it's the whole point of what I did on Be Amused By Me was to, like, clear the rest of my bucket list of those type of songs to appeal to my fan base, to geeks in general, to Dr. Demento's fans. It's like, awesome, I did my Monty Python song, I did my Red Dwarf song, you know, I did a whole bunch of stuff I'd been meaning to do. I did Fanboy Christmas 3, Bruce Campbell.
I don't remember
Campbell.
If I mentioned on this podcast how meta it was for me when Weird Al said the name of your album on the Logan Awards video. here's Luke Skeet. What song was nominated?
It's Good to Be the King was nominated. And he goes, it's the great Luke Skeet. Be amused by him. And points at the camera.
Yeah.
That was really freaking epic.
And that came from something that, you know, Luke said to me in a private hotel room many years ago. By the way, yesterday marked the 5-year anniversary of the day our romantic relationship ended.
Well,
and I remember that because I remember dates.
I love that you're allowed to celebrate negative dates, but, you know, positive dates don't matter as much to you.
I celebrate positive dates all the time. What the fuck are you talking about? What's your fucking problem?
Positive
date was I supposed to celebrate that I didn't?
Not so much positive dates, just positive things in general. It's kind of like how you kind of want to, you know, you're willing to bring up the fact that our romantic relationship ended, but you're not willing to acknowledge that our romantic relationship existed. Like, if I try to...
I am not... What
Like if if I try to talk about, oh, remember when we did this and that? You can't just say, yeah, that was awesome. You always have to say, yeah, but that was when we were dating and now we're not dating anymore. You know, it's like,
I don't do that. You're on crack.
You have done that.
Yeah, maybe 3 years ago. Or 4 years ago.
You never let go
of the past.
In the BMUs by Me story that we told on this that ended up on both the Bad Report album
and
the BMUs by Me album, when that story ends, the first thing you say after it is, but that was back during a different part of our lives.
No, Luke, the point was is that you tried to rewrite the story and make it that you were on the other side of the room and I was... Actually, I was sitting on the bed and you were like on the floor next to the bed.
It's not the you correcting me about those details part. It's the fact that you ended, but that was from a very different part of our lives or something like that.
I'll pull up
the sound file right now and play it for you if you want me to.
Luke, I was correcting you because it sounded like you were trying to rewrite it and make it sound like, we were always just friends.
I was not trying to do that. I was trying to... I got a couple of details of the story wrong, but...
I know you pretty well, so I thought there's a good chance that that's why you specified that you were on the other side of the room, in the doorway, or whatever it was that you said.
I was on the floor leaning over the edge of a bed, because as soon as I said the phrase, I collapsed down on... my arms and head collapsed down onto the bed for dramatic effect.
Yes, yep.
So, anyway...
I didn't bring it up because I don't acknowledge that we dated. I brought it up because I felt like you were the one who didn't want to acknowledge we dated.
I have no problem acknowledging that. I mean...
I don't think of it as a negative because how was I going to, meet Josh and hook up with Josh if I was not single,
Well, it's like when my dad died, it was kind of unique because it was a few hours after the end of February 29th. So something like that sticks out in my mind because it was, unique.
All of that shit sticks out in my mind. It doesn't matter if it's unique or not. I met you on October 25th, 2004, and I... Is that a positive thing, or is that not
you were
positive?
Dressed? That was when you were dressed
magenta.
As head... Oh, I... Was that at... Oh, no, wait, okay.
Rocky.
I'm thinking of the WindyCon when you dressed as Hedvig.
That we'd met already.
Okay.
I'd only met you and Tony, and I hadn't met anybody else, but...
And was that in, Merrillville?
Yes.
Okay. So... anyway...
In other news in my life, you had a thing to say. Wrap up your thoughts.
Well, yeah, my thoughts were going back to me talking about, me clearing the bucket list of that so that whatever I come out with next will be sort of a different thing, or a slightly different creature. It made me really happy to, I take an idea that was from when I very first began. And after all these years and, it's like I managed to end with a number one again. It just the whole full circle thing really felt good to me. And it's like I'm so glad that way back then I chose not to do that song parody, because if I would have tried to do it then, it would have sounded like crap.
Yeah.
And it's like...
Well, I didn't even like the idea until you played the instrumental for me. And then I was like, okay, this is pretty awesome.
Yeah, and it's kind of like, it's like I put that idea in a time capsule and saved it for the time when I could do this thing justice,
So you gotta give Jared Ringgold credit where credit is due.
Well, yes, Jared Ringgold, of course, and Bob Emmett, who did the mixing, Chris Mazzalesta, who did the dog kind of stuff, you for your vocals, obviously, and Ian for his contribution, as well as Stacy
correctly interpreted the chorus vocals so that when we recorded them, they sounded as much like the original as possible.
Yeah,
because you thought it was all women, and I'm sitting there listening to you, I'm like, no, this is women and guys, and then that's how we got the sound of that chorus to be good. Anyways.
But yeah, so it's, I'm really super, pleased and appreciative of all my fans who, request it every week and, as I ask them, and I'll get into that later. But yeah, just I'm so super appreciative and super happy, and it really means the world to me that you know, with the help of my fans and my friends, I was able to make that happen one more time. Because you know, as we've already demonstrated, I've put out Skeksis Back and the Star Wars Hanukkah song. You know, so if I'm sitting there and all of a sudden, you know, oh, Katy Perry drops a new single and I think of something that makes me think, oh, I should do a parody about that, about the Avengers. And then, you know, it's a brilliant idea. And then I make a new song, you know, stuff like that might happen, you know.
You know, you're going to write comedy songs when a good idea comes to you rather than trying to fish and hunt and hunt and peck and force.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, I have a dry erase board with a big list of potential song ideas, many of which have been around for a few years. And, you know, I'll keep mulling those over, but I'm not going to force myself to create songs on a schedule anymore. I'm just because and also I just want to have more time to do cool stuff like make the puppet videos, make new videos for my live stage show.
Watch the Sarah Silverman program.
Yes. And, you know, do other cool, creative, fun stuff. So and play Boob Tree.
OK, I have big news. Is it my turn?
Yes, it's your turn.
And we're 37 minutes into the show, and we haven't even had our first song break. Oh, boy. Big news, big news. This can be on your Facebook news feed, only it's in your ears. I quit my job, and I think my four square friends know this, and a small handful of my closest friends know that I did or was going to do this, but... I turned in my notice a week ago today, and my last day is going to be Friday, January 20th, and then the focus after that is for me to focus on being a mom. I'm still going to bring in small increments of money by singing in choir, although even that will probably get interrupted, of course, and I will see if there's anything else I can do to make money, but... I'm under Josh's insurances now, and I've left my job, and it's bittersweet because I've been there for 8.5 years, so it's a good thing, but it's a bad thing at the same time, and it's just a weird thing.
Well, you know, given all of the, you know, kind of negative reasons or things about that job that made you unhappy over the years, it makes me feel, you know, good that, you know, you're able to, you know... depart it and move on to the next stage of your life. So
well, you heard all the bad things. You know, I did a lot more bitching about it, but it was actually a really good place to work. You know, I had amazingly large amounts of paid vacation time for an American. You know, 32. I'm up to like 32 days of paid vacation time a year, which is really unusual for American company. Started off with 4 weeks. So, yeah, I mean, you know, and the people have been really reasonable there, and some of them are really nice, some of them are friends, and of course, I think the best thing is to get away from that environment that always makes me think about Mary, who died over a year ago, you know. And right now I'm going through all my old work emails from her again so that I can, you know, forward the ones that were, you know, notable or funny or touching to my Gmail, because if, you know, if I don't do it now, it's going to be gone forever. So, it's, you know, kind of that and some jewelry and a few photos is all I have left of Mary. So, you know, it'll be good to get away from, you know, that environment where I still look over at the cubicle where she used to sit and think about her when she used to be there with her spiky hair sticking up and her horrible singing voice singing loud. So I'm a leaving, and I'm gonna be a mommy. That's the plan. So 40 minutes now, solid. Should we play a song?
Let's play a song.
All right.
as we deal with the departed loved ones and you know, the coming of new life. Let's play a song by Insane Clown Posse. Here is "What Is a Juggalo" on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. I'm just a juggalo. I'm a juggalo. I'm a juggalo. I'm a juggalo. I'm a juggalo.
chicks winking at freaks with a 2 liter stuck in his butt cheeks. What is a juggalo? He just don't care. He might try to put a weave in his nut head, cause he can give a fuck less what a bitch thinks. He tell him that a butt stinks and all that. What is a juggalo? He drinks like a fish, and then he starts hugging people like a drunk bitch. Next thing he's picking fights with his best friends, then he starts with the hugging again. Fuck. What is a juggalo? A fucking lunatic. Somebody with a rope tied to his dick. Then he jumps out a 10-story window. Oh. It's a juggalo. A dead body. Well, he ain't really dead, but he ain't like anybody that you've ever met before. He'll eat Monopoly and shit out Connect Four. What is a juggalo?
What the fuck, Connect? Man, that
don't
shit.
Don't worry about
whack.
My shit. Just rap, motherfucker. What is a juggalo? He ain't a bitch boy. He walks through the hills and beats down a rich boy. Walks right in the house where you have a supper and dip his nuts in your soup. What is a juggalo? Well, he ain't a phony. He'll walk up and bust a nut in your macaroni and watch you sit there and finish up the last bit, cause you're a stupid ass dumb fucking idiot. What is a juggalo? He's a graduate. He graduated from, well, at least he got a job. He's not a dumb punch. He works for himself scratching his nuts. What is a juggalo? A hulkamaniac. He power bombs motherfuckers in the thumbtacks. People like him till they find out he's unstable. He sabooed your mama through a coffee table. It's a juggalo.
Figures you wouldn't understand.
Hi. So, Carrie has a...
You don't need to read that. Okay, right. So...
Carrie has a thing that she'll say now.
You may have seen this on Facebook already, but if you aren't on my Facebook or if you missed it, I... in the middle of the night... Well, I keep waking up a lot. I guess this is typical of pregnant women, especially ones that have... gained massively excessive amounts of weight like I have. But, you know, between the baby kicking and the pressure of the uterus against the lungs and not really being able to sleep on my back, I end up waking up a lot and having, like, a lower quality of sleep, but maybe more dreams that I remember. So in the middle of the night... One night I got up to do my routine of going to the bathroom and testing my blood sugar, and I realized I had had a dream where I had said the joke in my dream, I would like a vegetarian diet, but it just has no heart. Which is probably the single funniest thing that has ever happened in any of my dreams. But the funny thing is that I eat a lot of soy products, and I'm... I've tried to be vegetarian, and I generally don't eat beef except for when I do. And, you know, I'm not anti-vegetarian in any way, shape, or form. So I'm like, well, why would this joke pop into my dream? And I came to the conclusion that it's because my offspring is related to... because I'm carrying the offspring of Joshua Jonathan Racy, who is one of the biggest carnivores I know. And, is going to, bite his hands off and kill himself if he doesn't eat animal flesh, you know. it's like when a person hasn't had their coffee, you know, if he hasn't had his animal flesh yet of the day, he's just, like, inconsolably grumpy. So I decided that my fetus is the one who put that dream into my head, and it's all my fetus's fault, and that I'm not going to have a vegetarian for a son. I'd be very surprised if he ends up a vegetarian. But yeah, that was pretty funny. And Josh has some funny stories about Skyrim that happened at work, but he tells them better and he's not here, so we're going to save that.
Yeah. It might be more appropriate to save it for the next episode if something happens that I think is going to happen.
Okay.
So.
Whatevs.
So
you're going to say something that's going to make me hit you?
Maybe.
Probably.
I am currently listening to all of the 2011 episodes of Luke and Carrie's Bad Report in an attempt to compile the CD, the Best of Luke and Carrie's Bad Report, Bad Report 2011 collection. And I just today got through episode 44, the Transformers special. That was kind of like, you know, like the hump day in the middle of the year, you know, like, you know, we had a 6-week break after that, which is good because basically it means that as far as like number of episodes over period of time, it's like, you know, it was, you know, 3 episodes of time, you know,
yeah,
with so one episode that was 4 hours and 20 minutes. So it you know, more or less balances out, but you know,
it was also the first episode where I was pregnant, although I didn't know it yet. So it was the last episode where I either wasn't pregnant or didn't think I was pregnant.
So I have a kind of a New Year's resolution I thought of for Carrie.
Yeah, which I love the idea of giving someone else a New Year's resolution. I'm already on board.
To be fair, earlier today I texted her and said, you should think up a New Year's resolution that you want to make me do. And
not be a dick.
I don't know. I think I'm becoming more of a dick as I get older. I don't know. It just seems that way to me.
So it can be your New Year's resolution to be less of a dick this year.
I could try. So here's the... So as I said, listening to, you know, episodes 31 through 44, and it's like, you know how you were getting down on yourself because of you were saying the words, you know, and like and other things, and we had Ken make that chart?
Yes.
There's something... I don't know... If he...
I was the one who got all the data. He just turned it into a chart.
Oh, okay. All right. So, I don't know if this was part of that chart, but... And, you know, we all love Cirque du Soleil. We all love the Tile Guy sketches. You know, so I'm not trying to be down on that. However, you say okay, way too much. It's become like your... Your new verbal tic that you're not even realizing you're doing, because even when you don't mean it as, oh, I'm trying to be sarcastic and make this reference, it's just like, I'll just say anything like, you know, oh, I'm going to pick up my Chipotle and drink it. Okay. You know, I'm going to, you know, and now here's a new song by Insane Ian. Okay. You know, it's like you just say it so much that it's like really started to grate on me as I listen to these episodes.
What? I don't give a fuck.
That's exactly the reaction I expected to get from you.
Fuck off.
So that was going to be my suggestion for a New Year's resolution for Carrie.
I already have a New Year's resolution.
Uh-huh.
My New Year's resolution is to not sleep with a finger shoved in my ear canal, because I have to get used to trying to be aware of the noises in the room around me rather than trying to block them out.
Why? Because
I'm going to have a fucking
Because Josh snores or something? Is that
no.
why you're...
No, I'm just really oversensitive to noise. He doesn't snore at all.
Oh,
but,
okay.
If, like, we'll literally play something for white noise effect on purpose because we want the white noise, and then I'll go to sleep with a finger shoved in my ear canal to block out the white noise. So, I mean, or whatever it is, it might be Willow licking, like if we let Willow sleep with us, which we won't be able to do much longer, if like the slurping slurp 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 sounds of Willow cleaning herself, which are really loud, I'm or it could be a train because we live pretty close to the train tracks. I'm very oversensitive to noise when I sleep, so I've had to, you know, my New Year's resolution is to not have a finger shoved in my ear canal.
So my resolution, or at least one of them, is I'm not, you know how once a week I send off my email update and I, you know, was asking people, hey, request Snoopy the Dog, or, you know, hey, request whatever song I'm trying to get, you know, up the funny 25 countdown.
Yeah.
My resolution is to not do that anymore.
Yay! I mean, oh, why?
Well, I'm still going to be sending off email updates, which will most likely be once every 2 weeks to coincide with the release of the
but
new
Bad Report.
But you're not going
to push people to request anything anymore.
Yeah, it's like if I come up with a new song this year, like I said before, like oh, song idea, new song, and Dr. D plays it. You know, when I do those, you know, biweekly updates, you know, I'll mention it. And of course, I'm going to continue to mention, like, hey, the Dr. Demento Show, listen to it. It's the best show ever. You know, so I'll casually mention, you know, the request link, but I'm no longer going to make a concerted effort like I did. I actually had a, on my Google Calendar, like, for every Monday, it would be my reminder to myself to tell people, you know, to send off the email update and to remind people to request Snoopy the Dog and to put it on Facebook and,
yeah.
And YouTube, and I've been doing that for years, you know, with, you know, name
yes,
any other, name every other song.
As long
you
as
know.
I've known you.
You know, so, you know, as soon as I got the inkling that there was a song of mine that had a chance to maybe, you know, make it up the funny 25, I would, you know, start my, you know, concerted effort of, you know, email updates and online updates and, you know, blah, blah, blah. So now, you know, again, making it especially more fitting in my mind that, you know, Snoopy the Dog did hit number one. It's like, cool. Now I'm done with that. I'm not doing it anymore. I'm not going to...
Until the
you
next
know,
time.
It, yeah.
You're not doing it this year anyways.
It'll be a long time before I'd ever consider starting to do that again, is what I'm trying to say. So I'm gonna leave it alone. You know, we got awesome new songs by, you know, Devo Spices, I Am the Doctor, for example. I would love to see that, you know, climb up the charts on Dr. D. You know, a lot of, you know, we got...
Oh, are we going to play It Takes Two?
Yes, that's the next song on our list, so...
Because I heard this on the Toad Elevating Moment, and I was like, holy shit, that's awesome! Which I've heard it a million times, but I never got it until now.
And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, but you're in the freaking
yes,
song!
Yes, I'm aware of that. And
you have dressed as Rose Tyler and danced on
yes,
stage
I'm
with me.
Yes, I'm aware of that as well. Jared Ringgold is the one who made me not suck in that song, because I was, like, flat. So he pitch-tuned me up to the correct key, and... but yeah, I was so impressed with it that I like rewound the Toad Elevating Moment podcast to listen to it two more times in a row. Like it's the like the perfect spot for me because I'm just a little bit past where you were when you wrote that.
Yeah.
So
you know you have come to appreciate a song of mine, you know, 4 or so years after the fact.
Well, and I've really come to appreciate Doctor Who, you know, especially since Tennant took over. I'm not saying I didn't get anything out of the Christopher Eccleston season, although I really hated those farty fart people that were in the Ziploc, you know, skin things.
Raxacoracophalopatorians.
Oh, God. I hated them. Especially the first round of them. The second round, when it was just the one lady, wasn't as bad, but, oh, God, I hated it. It's like, okay, how many times are you stupid characters going to fart in one episode? It was funny, really, the second time, as they said in a Ramona Quimby book, first time is funny, the second time is silly, the third time is a spanking. But no, I'm really starting to really enjoy Doctor Who a lot, and David Tennant even more.
Well, on that note, let's go to the song and then News of the Stupid.
Okay.
Okay. Dope.
Right about now, you're about to hear the tales of the companion Rose Tyler, and her adventures with the Doctor.
Hit it!
Yes!
I get down. I am intergalactically known. From my home, I'm back to ancient Rome, to Alpha Centauri, then back to Cardiff. Come along with me inside the TARDIS. Time and relative dimensions in space. I'll take a Dalek and put him in his place. I am the Time War's last survivor, with my sucking paper and sonic screwdriver. To give space the future and ask all the dimensions, it's a blast. It's fantastic. Sidekick. Rose Tyler, a smart and sassy Brit chick. Use her party lips to make snarky quips. We hit London, then eat some fish and chips. Skinny Cassandra O'Brien, she liked fame. She was the culprit, but also she was framed. Zipperhead, Slitheen, those villains. Araxacorico, Falafatorians. So when they dealt it, Harriet smelt it. I let imagine blew them up like the Gelt did. My blue box is Fab Mod hip gear. Retro rocket, that's Soldier Justice up here. It's high tech, forget about Star Trek. We're square foot is the card, stupid holodeck. We'll explode Mighty Jagger Fest. Holy Hadrodastic, that's a rodent foe! That the spacer's in. With face of death, I undergo regeneration. When I wake up, I feel and look like a new man. How many times have I done it? Say 9 or 10. Who's this? The Bad Wolf? She saw the time vortex. Captain Harkness is always wanting more sex. A quick snog. Jackie offers eggnog. Mickey the idiot will say he's not the tin dog. Speaking of which, I'll visit Sarah Jane Smith. Canine will live and speak. I fight the wire, the ooh, the beast. I stop the Empress of the Rachnos feast. I am a time warper right now since I'm born. Check out these lyrics and call me the Rhyme Lord.
It takes two to make a thing go right. It takes two to make it out of sight.
This audio transmission insufficiently mentions the Dalek. You want to discuss Dalek supremacy? You must obey. Dalek represent.
At
Torchwood in Canary Wharf, they might know the location of Red Dwarf. Protect the British Empire, saw the Sycorax. They end in fire, they do things that make me annoyed a bit. They found a void ship, a spheroid rip in our dimension. When all the ghosts of Cybermen, parallel Earth, we make new how. Phone earbuds,
but can you hear me now?
Too late, zombie brigade, chop out your brain, get an upgrade. That one's in the sphere, now they're here running beer. The limey fanboys waiting for years to see this showdown. Was this fate, mate? Will they delete or
exterminate?
Wait, before it's too late, let's handle this debate. Great, into the rift, I let some Cybermen their defeats swirl. Who's almost fell, but not too safe, didn't peace world. Said goodbye, faded away and cried. Suddenly there was a runaway bride. What happens next? Hey, don't ask me, cause it's all up to the BBC.
It takes two to make a thing go right. It takes two to make it out of sight. It takes two to make a thing go right. It takes two to make it out of sight.
When I count to three, I order you to get busy now. 1, 2, 3, Dalek.
Exterminate.
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 And now it's time for...
By Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com. Reported by the internet from all over the world and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me to incriminate. Can we incarcerate?
A convicted felon has been arrested by police in a Phoenix suburb after telling officers that she was hiding a handgun in her bra. Angela Lynn Milhone is not allowed to possess a firearm, but police in Mesa, Arizona say the 20-year-old admitted to concealing a .22 caliber semi-automatic handgun in her undergarments when a car she was riding in was stopped by officers early Tuesday. The Arizona Republic reports that police had stopped the car while looking for a suspect on a weapons violation warrant. They seized the gun and arrested Milhone on charges of being a prohibited possessor of a firearm and concealing a deadly weapon while under 21 years of age. No comment was made on the size of her bazookas.
A Fayette County, Pennsylvania jury cleared 67-year-old Alberta Kelly of drug possession and manufacture charges on Wednesday after she told them she simply tossed a handful of unknown seeds into her garden someone gave to her. She wanted something that would look pretty next to her tomatoes and were told they were flower seeds. What she didn't realize is that they were marijuana plants. Connellsville police charged Kelly a year ago after receiving a tip about Kelly's garden. Investigators say they found 7 well-cultivated 4-foot marijuana plants behind her home. But Kelly claimed she didn't know what she was growing. She said that she'd been given the seeds by, quote, a bearded stranger in a pointy hat, unquote. No growth progress has been made on the magic beans she planted in exchange for her cow.
If you need extra time off of work for a vacation but are having trouble getting your bosses to give it to you, there are many different ways to handle the situation. One way we don't recommend here at News of the Stupid is forging a death certificate for your daughter and claim that the services are being held at your vacation destination. That's what Joan Barnett did, a 58-year-old New York City school employee who forged a daughter's death certificate to get extra vacation time in Costa Rica. She has since been fired. Joan, a parent coordinator, submitted an altered death certificate to get approved leave time in March and April of 2010, according to the report by the Commissioner of Investigations. She lost her job that June after the forgery came to light. According to the report, someone who said she was Barnett's daughter called the school on March 19, 2010, and said her sister in Costa Rica was very sick. Later that day, the report said, another supposed daughter of Barnett's called and said her sister had suffered a heart attack and died. She said relatives were gathering in Costa Rica. Barnett faxed the school a death certificate April 8th, the report said. School officials were suspicious because it had different misaligned fonts. A Costa Rican government official later confirmed the document was a fake, noting that the death certificate had been issued in 2005. In addition to losing her job, Barnett pleaded guilty to a misdemeanor forgery charge last fall and was sentenced to 10 days community service. Neither the criminal complaint against Barnett nor the special commissioner's report addresses the question of whether the daughter who purportedly died ever existed. Laurel Wright Hinkson, a spokeswoman for the special commissioner's office, said that Barnett refused to speak to investigators who were unable to ascertain if in fact she had said daughter and if she did, if this daughter did pass away. I think you don't have to be an investigator to deduce that a woman who is willing to lie about the death of her daughter to get more vacation time could have also been lying about the existence of that daughter to begin with.
And finally, in Madison, Wisconsin, a 30-year-old man was arrested and put in jail last week after residents complained of excessive drinking and drug use near Reynolds Park. Court records show that the man's name used to be Jeffrey Drew Wilschke. He legally changed it in October. His legal name is now Bees Out Doo Doo Zappity Bop Bop Bop. Police say Bees Out Doo Doo Zappity Bop 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 violated his bail conditions from a previous run-in with the law. Authorities say Bees Out Doo Doo Zappity Bop 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 was arrested in another local park last April after police found a loaded handgun in his backpack. Bees Out Doo Doo Zappity Bop 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 is tentatively charged with carrying a concealed knife and possession of drug paraphernalia and marijuana. Jail records don't list his bail amount or an attorney for Bees Out Doo Doo Zappity Bop Bop Bop.
People are stupid, and once again they have...
Bees Out Doo Doo Zappity Bop Bop Bop!
This has been News of the Stupid.
Okay.
I didn't have a headache. So apparently this Mississippi governor who is on the outs is just... setting people free, regardless of if they were guilty or not. He's just handing out pardons. Here, have some pardons.
Wow.
So what's next on the outline, if anything?
Well, you wanted to talk about your drama school, your high school drama.
Fuck.
200 pardons. Are there pardons for burping on a podcast?
I don't think so. But there's 14 convicted murderers.
Yay!
Holy shit.
Wow. I started my high school theater career by showing up to an audition and kicking ass. I had never been in a play or musical before, unless you count, you know, second and third grade type of things where everybody does it. And even though I was, you know, the fat kid that nobody liked, I just walked in and kicked ass on the audition. Unfortunately, you know, I was the fat kid, so I didn't get the part because I wasn't, you know, right for the part. But I got the experience on that show of doing lights, and actually I think that was a series of one acts. So there was three one acts in a row to get, you know, presented as, you know, one show. So for one act, I'd be running a light board called The Beast, which is the biggest fucking thing you've ever fucking seen, with gigantic levers and, you know, seriously old school.
Yeah, we had stuff like that at my high school, too.
Yeah, because we're old. I doubt if they still have to use anything like that anymore. If they do, then the city of St. Paul seriously needs some more funding for their arts programs in their schools. But at the time, that's what we were using, so I had to learn, you know, slow and steady, you know, ways of bringing lights on, you know, up and down. I wasn't the person designing the lights, of course. So I think I did that for two of the three one acts. And then for one of the one acts, I got to go up into this asbestos-covered, attic area, huge area, like big spiral staircase. I'd go up, I'd go across the catwalk looking at all the asbestos all over the place, and would go operate the follow spot. So that was, so I'd go up there by myself ultimately after I was trained in. So that was kind of cool because, you know, only children like, you know, being secluded for periods of time. I went on to the next audition where I got the role of the mother in a really grim play called The Murder of Lidice, which it's Lidice, and it's like a story from like the Holocaust. So I was playing the mother of who I don't think she was yet, but became my best friend, Anna Marie Engstrom, now known as Pepper Engstrom. So she was playing the daughter and I was playing the mother wearing a babushka, and I had to do some serious acting for that because I had to scream bloody murder at like the murder of my daughter. Like I had to do the screaming and sobbing, and I'm like, you know, 15 years old at this point, you know, trying to convey the heartbreak of a mother who just lost her teenage daughter in the Holocaust. And it was hard. It was a hard, you know, hurdle for me to jump to. Okay, I'm not gonna just pretend to scream or, you know, just, you know, do some fake wailing. I'm gonna scream bloody murder, you know. So we actually did really well in the one act competition with that play. We got, you know, almost all the way to like a, you know, a state finals with it, and then some other fucking high school fucking beat us out with their stupid ass play that wasn't as good as ours. Other things I did in high school, I played the mom in a I wish I would have done research. There's a play, something about, you know, the Howl of the Moon, the witch at night. I don't know what the fuck it was called. But it was about this woman who was kind of accused of being a witch. And she had this black witch and this white witch that would kind of follow her around. Which, when they cast a white woman and a black woman to play the roles, I kind of thought that they would have, like, the white woman wear all white and the black woman wear all black, but they were both in black leotards. And there's a scene where we're trying to cleanse the soul of this woman who I'm playing the mother of, and so, like, the small southern town kind of gathers around her to decides that the best way to cleanse her soul is for her virginity to be taken away or something stupid like that. I don't really remember how the small town Baptists made this connection, but I ended up being the one pushing my daughter, quote, you know, my character is the one who pushes the daughter into the center of the circle to get raped in a high school play.
Wow.
It's like, no, obviously we did not have any, you know, representation of the rape other than that, you know, other than being shoved in the center of a circle. But it was pretty creepy. And so I got to do a southern accent for that play. I ended up being... I was originally cast as the fat chick in Music Man, but when my friend Anna Marie decided to drop out, she had been cast as the Irish mom, Mrs. Peru. And when she dropped out, I got promoted to play the Irish mom, Mrs. Peru, and
somebody else. They just, like, keep giving you all the mom roles.
Yeah. Yeah, they decided it wasn't just because I was overweight. They said it was typecasting, and it wasn't just due to my weight.
Wow.
And I think anyone who knows me well can say that, you know, I can be accurately typecast as a mom, in spite of having not been a mom until, you know, the near future. But so, you know, I got to learn an Irish accent and play Mrs. Peru, and I ended up dyeing my hair red for the part, even though nobody told me I had to. I wanted to. And, your chair is creaking.
Sorry.
I had a bad experience with Hello, Dolly, because I was sort of pre-pegged to play Hello, Dolly, and ended up being totally shown up by my best friend at the auditions, and I made a fool of myself at the auditions. I'm not going to go into that. And a bad thing about the Music Man auditions were anybody who was interested in the part of Marion the Librarian had to actually kiss whoever was interested in the part of what's the lead?
Henry Higgins? Harold Hill.
Harold Hill, there you go.
Another double H.
Yeah, whoever was interested in playing Professor Harold Hill and whoever was interested in playing Marion the Librarian, they had to. We had to get paired up and actually kiss in the auditions, which I don't, you know, to this day I think was wrong of her to do, especially since that ended up being my first kiss.
Wow. I can't. Yeah, remember. Can I interject something about my drama past? So
I want to finish telling that story though.
Yeah, in the play Once Upon a Mattress, where I was the male lead, Prince Dauntlet, Prince Dauntless the Drab, whatever the fuck he was supposed to kiss the princess, and because it was in the script, and they took it out, and I kind of felt ripped off. That I'm like, this is kind of some bullshit.
Not only did we keep the kiss in the play, we had to do the kiss in the auditions.
Yeah.
And there was I don't remember what exactly happened, but basically, even though the guy that I was madly in love with was one of the guys who was trying out for Harold Hill, I was too shy to go up there and be one of the potential Marians to kiss him. So, I think that ended up being my best friend, actually, but I forgave her for that. I don't think I really held a grudge against that. And then I ended up having to kiss this guy. I don't remember his name, even. The first guy I ever kissed, and now I can't even remember his name. But it wasn't a real... Well, I would say it wasn't a real kiss, except he was tonguing me. He was a big black guy. Then that's all I remember about him. I used to know his name. Can't even fucking remember his name. But so he ended up being my first kiss in front of everybody. Never kissed a boy in my life ever. And now, you know, because this stupid, like, you know, I mean, I guess I loved her at the time, but, you know, this woman who wanted to hold inappropriate auditions. Talk about Glee Club. Anyways,
I'm just trying to picture in my head what a production of The Music Man would be like with an African-American playing Professor Harold Hill, because the whole point is that Harold Hill is dealing with being in this, like, super conservative, uptight, you know, town in, you know, whatever it was, the late 1800s, well, early 1900s. So for Harold Hill to be a black man on top of that, it's like, you got to be a really convincing, you know, con man in order to pull this off.
He didn't get the part, but the guy playing my son, Winthrop or whatever, he was a black kid. Hmm. He was an asshole, too. But he got the part partially because he looked... You know, he was, like, underdeveloped for his age, so he looked like a kid, you know. I feel like I'm missing something important. The other weird thing about The Music Man was I kind of ended up being in charge of lights completely. Not just, you know, and I'm, you know, so I'm...
So you were on stage playing a part in it, though, right?
Yes.
And you were also in charge of lights.
I was not the only one doing lights, but I was in charge of lights because this was a production put on by the music department, and it was not in any way, shape, or form any sort of cooperation with the theater department. It was completely and utterly separate, and it was totally retarded. So I ended up being, since I'd had experience doing lights and no one else had, I was the default person to be in charge of the lights, and since I didn't know anything about light design, I had just some of the most retarded things you would ever see in a million years. Like, you know, like during the dance scene, you know, some lights going on up and down, because, like, ooh, this is a cool effect. Or
that's what I would have done.
Oh God, and. We finally, on our fourth performance, we fixed it, but the follow spot by having the direction for what's the duet between them? It's kind of towards the end, sort of. Well, anyways, there's a duet between Marion and Harold Hill, and but they're not actually supposed to be in the same room or know that each other's there. It's a duet where they're each in their own little worlds.
Like, Till There Was You?
I think that was half of it. And then Harold Hill singing something else.
God damn it, where is...
And then I think they switched songs.
I'm listening.
So the lighting for that was the follow... Since also the person doing the directing was a choir director and had no business directing a stage show and had no experience directing a stage show and didn't know what she was doing directing a stage show, had the two lead characters in front of the curtains. That's her blocking command. And my light design is, okay, you'll bring the follow spot up on one, and then when their line is over, you turn it off and you bring it up on the other person. So every time that happened, it would be basically pitch black in the house in the middle of the song, and people would be very confused. And so finally, at the last show, I got them to drag the ball of spot back and forth rather than turning it off in the middle, because I got so many weird comments about that.
Yeah, Till There Was You was the name of the song.
Yeah, but it's the Goodnight My Someone, where it's Shirley Jones and Robert Preston.
Oh, I see. Okay, you're right.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, because I have the soundtrack to The Music Man on CD.
I should have that.
I
ended up doing sound for one of the plays, for one of the actual theater plays, and, you know, although, you know, musicals are more fun, I admit the, you know, theater director was much better at, you know, running a production than the choir director was. Like I said, I feel like I'm forgetting something, but that's all I can remember, so that... I have other shows that I was in college, but I'm not going to drag this on forever, so maybe I'll talk about that another time.
Okay. I want to run through this sound bites thing. I want to hear what these all sound like, because I don't think I've listened to all of them yet. This one is called Pogo Stick. That, to me, sounds more like... You know, a rip-off R2-D2 or, like, an old-timey car driving down a street.
It sounds like a squeaky hotel bed where somebody's supposed to be having sex.
This one is called Too Bad, So Sad. Which is essentially sad trombone.
Yeah.
This one is Applause. Okay. This one is Fax Machine. That could also be a modem. I think.
Well, actually, our fax machines at my work still do that.
Oh, okay.
Although, next time I'm doing this show, it'll be my fax machines at my old job.
This one just has a musical note in front of it, so it sounds like this. They could, I guess, writing the phrase, shaving a haircut, two bits, wouldn't have, you know.
They should have just wrote two bits.
Yeah. So, soap opera drama. All right. This one is Burp. Pretty good burp. This one is Bomb.
Ow. It's really loud.
This one is Glass Breaking. This one is Siren. This one is Charge. This one is Car Crash. This one is Cash Register. Okay. This one is LOL. This one is Drum Roll. Here's Whistle. Here's Uh-Oh.
Uh-Oh!
SpaghettiOs.
Here's Whoopee. Oh, so that's a fart noise.
Yes.
They couldn't write fart, so they wrote Whoopee. You hear that again. All right. Here's Bang. That's way too much.
Yeah.
Just like with the bomb. It should just be the bomb noise. We don't need the lead up and the... Yeah. And this one is Yuck. Which I think is meant to be like vomiting. So...
Yeah. That's charming.
So this is our new soundboard for Bad Rapport.
Can it not be our new soundboard and we can just say it was?
There. Well, my mom spent $6 on this. I don't want it to go to waste, so.
Well, we just spent 6 good minutes talking about it, so.
All right. This is just a very short mentioning of something that falls in the category of things only Luke remembers, but I know other people do remember this because I looked on YouTube today to see if there were clips online, and in fact, there are. There was a sitcom on ABC in... 86-ish, maybe as late as 88, I can't remember. It ran like 2 seasons. It was a sitcom, but it was a parody of cop shows and like Dirty Harry and stuff called Sledgehammer. And the lead character was named Sledgehammer, and he was a cop who had like this gigantic, you know, gun, and, you know, you basically talked to his gun as if it were a person. And he was like this total, you know, I mean, he wore like a suit and tie and stuff like that, but he was like this super macho to the billionth degree, you know, kind of right-wing Republican, you know, just like, you know, he's going to clean the scum off the streets. And, you know, his answer to everything was just kind of shooting people and blowing people away. And his catchphrase was, "Trust me, I know what I'm doing." And every time he said that, he would do something and then something would go horribly wrong. So, and he was, you know, part of the character. I mean, it's like one of those things where this character is intentionally doing things that are, you know, either in poor taste or, you know, he's a bad example character, mm-hmm. you know. And he had a partner who was, you know, some woman, I can't remember her character's name, but of course he would always kind of say things that were, you know, kind of sexist or just have kind of these old world mentalities of like, oh, well, the man should do this and the woman should be, you know, a woman shouldn't be a cop with a gun. A woman should be, you know, in the kitchen, you know, barefoot or whatever. So, you know, and then of course he had like the typical police chief who was always getting on his butt about, you know, Hammer, you did this and that, you know. But so it's like, as a kid watching this, I was intellectually mature enough to realize this is a parody of cop shows, and the way he's behaving is not the way people should be behaving. This is, you know,
yes.
This is bad behavior, this is wrong attitudes, but that, you know, that was part of the lampooning of that whole Dirty Harry, you know, cop show kind of culture. But my mom, you know, this show immediately made her list of, these are shows that she does not want me to watch or is unhappy that I am watching or whatever, along with Married with Children and Heathcliff and the Cadillac Cats. It angered her to know that I was watching this show because it did things that she disagreed with.
Yeah.
You know, and I there was no way I could convince her that, like, no, Mom, I'm not actually going to
be funny.
Yeah, I'm not actually going to act like this guy or adopt his attitude towards women in life. It's a comedy. And she just never could get past that or whatever. So I don't have anything particularly profound to say about it. I just wanted to mention it because I really loved the show. I thought it was really hilarious. They did a pretty damn good parody episode of the movie Witness, the one about the Amish kid who witnesses a murder with Harrison Ford.
Uh-huh.
Their episode was called it Witless. They also had a really interesting thing they did at the end of their first season when they were in danger of getting canceled. They had a cliffhanger episode in which the very last thing that happens at the end of the episode is Hammer accidentally detonates a nuclear device in the downtown of the city they're in. And then that was the cliffhanger. And then season two basically began with them saying, oh, this season takes place before the first season. So it was, you know, or something like that, just to kind of write off the fact that they ended it with a nuclear explosion. So, So yeah. So,
do you remember that singing cop show?
Cop Rock?
Oh, God.
I remember seeing bits of it, but I never actually watched the one episode that got aired.
Yeah, they made like a huge deal about it for weeks. You know, you gotta see Cop Rock. And I think I tuned in for a little bit, and it was like the stupidest thing ever.
Yeah. It was a huge lemon.
Yeah.
So anyway, on that, I'm going to play a stand-up comedy piece that I just saw John Kovalik posted on Facebook today of a comedian who I saw open for Patton Oswalt. His name is Dan Telfer. He's a Chicago area comic. He did this piece that is entitled "The Best Dinosaur." And I saw this, so this is a version of this bit that he does that I really freaking loved, because he basically is a, you know, somebody who was into dinosaurs at a very young age before anybody else cared about them like me. Mm-hmm. And he wrote this stand-up pop comedy piece in which he discusses, you know, what is truly the best dinosaur. Like, what would you say is the best dinosaur?
Stegosaurus.
I would say that too, and that gets brought up. So anyway, here is Dan Telfer with The Best Dinosaur.
Who here likes dinosaurs? Yeah. That's good to hear. Do you guys feel like you have a good grasp of what you think the best dinosaur is?
Is there a right answer?
What do you think the best dinosaur is?
T-Rex.
T-Rex, I get it, buddy. But I want really, really thoroughly image map that dinosaur in your brain and imagine it trying to open a fruit cup. And also, what about Gigantosaurus? Same genus, bigger forearms, less spork-like. Okay? So Gigantosaurus. But also, what about Spinosaurus, the biggest carnivore ever to walk the planet from head to toe? Tallest badass ever to be on the planet Earth. But still, he had a giant decorative sail on his back. You can already maul anything on Earth. Why the fuck do you have this big flippity-floppity decorative sail on your back? How small is your dick? Do you drive a Porsche? Whatever, midlife crisis-osaurus. What else? What else do you think is the best dinosaur?
Plesiosaur.
Plesiosaurus, marine reptile, not a real dinosaur. What else? Stegosaurus? I get it, man. It's a peaceful herbivore. It's got bony plates on its back, a spiked tail, very unique. But fossil records show it is the dumbest thing ever to walk around. Its brain was the size of a walnut. It was so fucking stupid. It had a second brain in its stomach to control its tail. It had an ass brain. You can't be the best dinosaur with a social obstacle like that. What else? Pterodactyl, winged reptile, not a real dinosaur. What else? Triceratops, what about Styracosaurus? Had 9 horns on its shield. Even then, big bag of meat in the back. If you're a mid-sized predator with hooked foot, you could totally unfurl those entrails. What else? What? Brontosaurus. Fake dinosaur. Someone hoodwinked us in the late 1800s, took the skull from a stegosaurus, put it on an apatosaurus. And for over 100 years, we thought there was this creature called a brontosaurus, but then, you know, a series of scientists figured it out. They sued the U.S. Postal Service to get them to redact all of the U.S. postal stamps with a brontosaurus on them. Our dream of one day cloning a brontosaurus, sitting down with Fred Flintstone having a brontosaurus burger, has been dashed. So, while you have my sympathies, it'll never happen. Next time. Velociraptor is the Tanya Harding of the dinosaur kingdom. Okay? Fuck that piece of shit. I don't know if you're like me, but I am in my mid-30s. I grew up in the early 80s. Beloved amongst folk like me was this mid-sized predator who had hook talons on his feet. He could dropkick the head off an apatosaurus. He was an awesome dinosaur called Deinonychus. Okay, he was in all the color forms, all the cartoons. I had an action figure. But then Steven Spielberg literally sat down Michael Crichton about that book being translated into a movie. That fucking Jurassic Park piece of garbage. All right, and he said to Michael Crichton, all right, look, you have this thing in the book called a Velociraptor, but they're too small. We'll make it look exactly like its cousin, the Deinonychus. He's already popular, but we'll give it the more aerodynamic-sounding Velociraptor name. Velociraptor was this fucking big, okay? He was the size of a goose, okay? He was a piece of garbage scavenger. Nothing. If you encountered a Velociraptor in the wild, here's what would happen. Oh, hey, fucker. That's it. End of scary dinosaur encounter. What else?
Pachycephalosaurus.
Oh, great. He's got a really thick skull. He would smash his skulls into each other. Congratulations, jock. Go back to your fraternity and smash beer cans on your fucking head. What else? What?
Raptor?
We just fucking spent 3 minutes on Velociraptor, and now you're going to pull out its entire genus when I've already clearly outlined that Deinonychus was good. You can at least say Deinonychus like you were paying attention. Why don't you say Utah Raptor or Microraptor? At least then you'd be pulling something specific from the deep cuts like a fucking fan. Raptor in general? What, you watching too much Battlestar Galactica last night and that's your favorite transport vehicle? Move to Toronto. What else? What?
Brachiosaurus.
What about Ultrasaurus? Same genus, bigger, still has a crest on its head. Nice little 1980s, like tubularosaurus kind of vibe to an Ultrasaurus. What else? Anybody?
Allosaurus.
First of all, Allosaurus, I looked it up. It's Latin for different lizard. See you, Lollapalooza, your skinny jeans. The best dinosaur, someone else shouted out, is Ankylosaurus. Because it's the fused lizard, you guys. So it means in Latin. It's invincible. Just solid armor. 12 predators can attack it at once. Just kneel down and take a nap. Dream of cupcakes. Peaceful lagoon. Nobody could issue it any customer service demands. Condescend to it. No one could steal its lunch money and throw it in a dumpster and call it a faggy fag fag fag.
What's Luke plugging now?
Yeah. What's at the fump? What's at that fump?
Shapoopy!
At the FOP right now, you can download Men Friends by Flat 29, Really Cool Wig by Lemon Demon, Love Connection Jazz Version by Carla Ulbrich, Hey Birthday Boy by Insane Ian, One Damn Lane by Tony Goldmark, Go to Bed by Ookla the Mock, What Do You Get the Girl Who Has Everything by Steve Goody, and I Can't Rap by Scooter Picnic.
Yes, and it is time for me to start plugging MarsCon 2012, both the Dementia track and the fundraiser. Just to give you the main chunk of info, I'll tell you, here's who's performing at... Well, you know what? Never mind. I'm in the
can,
in a,
I don't care.
All right.
go through the list.
Well, you know what? Actually, I think I want to save it. Here's the deal, guys. I meant to this week create the little preview thing that I make every year, and I didn't have time to. So I'll save the main glut of information, but I should at the very least tell you that I've announced the 2012 Dementia track. Go to MarsConDementia.com to find out the details and to order the Dementia track fundraiser CD and or MP3 set. It's 4 hours of live music and comedy recorded on the main stage, the Dementia Fan Showcase, and Party Rob's Party Bus. It's $30 for the 3-CD set with instant MP3 download, or $20 for the download-only version. So please go there and get it. If you need more convincing, just hang on in a day or two. I'll be posting the half hour or so preview of tracks from that collection to try to convince you to buy it. And in that, I'll go into more detail on what's all happening at MarsCon this year. But yeah, so that's that. Lukeski.com store exists, and you can buy albums there, as does the CarrieDalby.com store, which is actually the Fump store, but still, you can do that too. The Dr. Demento show is awesome, and you should listen to it. His website is drdemento.com. You know, every week, another 2.5-hour-long episode of brilliance and history and hilarity. I highly recommend it. drdemento.com, drtemento.com. Artbylukeski.com. That's my website for my art stuff. So if you want to order individual drawings or caricatures or whatever, I'm available for that. You can also hire me to draw at parties in the Chicagoland tri-state area, or even farther away if you're willing to cover the travel and hotel costs. So go to artbylukeski.com for that. Hey, Carrie, what shade of pink are you wearing?
Well, since pregnancy deepens pigmentation, I'm wearing red.
Okay, and you're wearing pink things on your jewelry.
Well, yeah, that's a given.
Yes. So, all right, one kind of ignorant story. As I've said before, I've created this book full of bodies and backgrounds so that people can have, you know, all sorts of options to choose from so that I don't always get the same, you know, make me with a muscle body at the beach, you know, make my, you know, girlfriend in a bikini at the beach with me with a muscle body, make me a football player, make her a cheerleader. It's kind of like the
but
same.
But you still get those anyways, most of the time.
You know, from time to time, but at least this time it's kind of like cutting it off at the pass if the first thing they see before they say anything is my book, they can look through it and, you know, find other options. So It solves one main big problem for me, but it does kind of create a new problem that's happened a handful of times now, in which I'm dealing with a child. Mainly, this is a child thing. A child who, okay, well, here's the story that explains it. That happened to me over the weekend. I had drawn a bunch of kids in a row in color with bodies and backgrounds, and one of them, well, this one teenage girl, wanted me to draw her as Shigo from the show Kim Possible, because that's one of the ones in my book. Mm-hmm. So I drew her as Shigo in the, you know, her in her superhero outfit with her glowing hands and stuff. And then in the background, I drew Kim Possible and Dr. Draken, you know, and that was all well and good. So then like a kid or two after that, you know, because there's people in line waiting behind me and the kids are seeing what I'm doing. This young boy who was about 5 and had a younger daughter who was or younger sister who was about 3. So it's like 5-year-old boy, 3-year-old girl, and he goes through the body book and finds the one of Shigo. So he says, because they're going to get the two of them drawn together with bodies and backgrounds, and he's like, I want you to draw my sister as this one, and I want me as... And he, like, flips through the book a few pages, and he points to this one, and he points to Neo from The Matrix. So I said to him, like in this actual sentence, I said to him, "So you want your sister to be Shigo from Kim Possible, and you want to be Neo from The Matrix?" And he was just kind of like, and then he started flipping through the book some more, and he's like, "How about this one here?" So, like, the new problem is young children who are completely unfamiliar with
everything,
with all of this pop culture stuff I'm trying to represent in this book, and are just going through randomly picking bodies out that somehow, you know, in their head they think are cool or neat, even though they have no idea what the context of that is.
Mm-hmm.
And I've dealt with that with adults in the past. Like, I remember way back at the casino, I was drawing these three guys, and they all said they wanted to be. They looked through the book of bodies I had, which is a similar selection to the one I have now, just not as extensive, and they found Han Solo. They said they wanted me to draw all three of them as Han Solo. And I was like, okay. And so I started drawing them, and then halfway through the drawing, they said, "Oh, can you put us like with some word balloons where I'm saying, hey, Dago, and then he's saying, what's up, Dago, and then he's saying, how's it going, Dago?" And I'm like, sure, I guess, and I did that, and then it kind of dawned on me as I'm drawing them, they probably didn't even notice that that body had anything to do with Star Wars. They just wanted the guy holding the gun. It's like, it's an outer space gun, but, oh, we have to pick the most testosterone thing in the world so people don't think we're all gay hanging out with each other. We'll pick the guy with the gun. It's like, oh, you... So when I finally dawned on that, I didn't bother drawing any kind of Star Wars-related background or whatever. I just kind of drew them standing in front of a brick wall, you know, because, yeah. You know. So, yeah, so that's the new body book problem is, you know...
It's kind of funny, though.
You know, people, you know, mainly children, but in general, people who are just going through and picking out random things without paying attention to what they are or their context or whatever.
Well, as someone who's about to enter the world of parenting, I'll do my best to give a pop culture education. By the way, you do caricatures of babies, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Okay, because I'm looking forward to my first caricature of Alex.
So, we have comments. So, I don't know. Which one do you want to read? The one from Computer King or the one from Madman?
I'll read Madman.
All right. Computer King says, "Just a note, that goat's tail features prominently in the first few moments of the video, too."
Yes.
Yes, I noticed that.
Madman on the Loose says, "The Brady Bunch ep involving picturing people in underwear was Marcia trying to take her driver's exam. She was advised to picture others in underwear by her father like people do for speeches. The Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer ep premiered in 1965, and a Yukon Cornelius mention in late December is appropriate. The goat in Love Shack stumped me, too. We'll definitely make that sound when hearing it in the future."
All right, and we have our first iTunes review in 7 months.
Yay!
By somebody who calls themselves Rhyming Casher. C-A-C-H-E-R. Casher or cachet?
I don't know.
Anyway, Rhyming Cachet says, "Love you guys! Been a Lukeski fan for years, and I was happy to see that he has a podcast. Listening is like hanging with old friends. I love the video podcast with the puppets. Best podcast ever! 5 stars!
Yay!
So thank you very much, Rhyming Cachet. So if you would like to leave us an iTunes review sometime in the next 7 months, you can go to iTunes to our page there and leave a review and hopefully give us a star rating. Yes. That's somewhere near the 5 range.
And if you notice, if you go to iTunes, you know, or if you go to iTunes podcasts anyways, or if you go to YouTube and enter Luke and Carrie, we're usually the first things that come up.
Yes, and if you didn't see the earlier puppet episode from a year and a half ago, just go to my YouTube page and you can find video podcast episode 1 if you haven't seen that one yet. I think you'll enjoy that as well.
What are we going to name this goddamn thing?
I don't know. I'll figure it out later.
We didn't come up with an obvious name. Wah, 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 wah.
So, anyway, the last song I was going to play, I got reminded of when I was re-skimming through the Teenage Comedian comics. I found a page in which it's a two-page spread, pretty much, in which I'm making a reference to a song that I heard on Yo MTV Raps that kind of got stuck in my head as one of those inside joke things that I would, you know, kind of like the I'd buy that for a dollar thing where I, like, would repeat it over and over to my friends to the point of annoyance. It's like this song had a hook to it that, especially at the end of the song, that I really got behind and I thought was hilarious. So I worked it into this two-page spread, and for those of you who read the Teenage Comedian Star Wars comics, maybe this will make you be like, oh, that's what the hell that was all about. So
probably won't remember.
And it's a song by Funkmaster George Clinton of Parliament Funkadelic. So the song will be later, but for now we're saying goodbye.
So have a happy birthday, and I'll have a happy baby shower, and I'll have a happy ending of job, and you guys all have a happy, you know, going to jobs or not going to jobs, whichever one it is that you do.
Yes, and remember, you can make comments for the show at the website, badreport.com. You can leave us an iTunes review at iTunes, or you can leave a voicemail message, which nobody did this time around, at 916-LUKE-SKI. That's 916-585-3754. So until next time, I'm Luke.
And I'm Carrie.
And this has been Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Okay.
Get a little funk. Then you sell out. Shake a few rumps and then you sold out. We did all of that without selling out. Not to be confused with.
Fresh for 98. Fresh for 98. Fresh for 98.
Suckers, suckers.
Fresh for 98.
Fresh
for 98.
Fresh
for 98.
Suckers, suckers.
Oh!
Listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Not to be confused with.
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.